Welcome to Massive Late Fee. And now your hosts, Mark and Carol.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to Massive Late Fee. My name is Mark. With me as always is my wife, Carol. How are you doing today, Carol?
Hey, what's up?
How much has been a good week here? It is fucking March.
Did you almost say November?
Yep, it's March 4th.
Holy 1999.
It is. And we've had a pretty good week here, I would say. I don't know how you feel about it.
But yeah, we had a pretty good week. We got to see a pretty good movie, so.
Oh, you liked it, huh?
I did.
Tipping your hand a little bit there.
Spoilers, I liked the movie.
I mean, you like a lot of the movies we see.
That is true. I'm not as discerning as you.
If a movie doesn't star Adam Sandler or Jim Carrey, you're probably
going to like it. This is true. And even some of the movies that do star them, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, a couple. Yeah. I mean, we had, what Jim Carrey movie did you like?
I'm trying to remember.
Cable Guy?
Was that it? That was the one where he was kind of, like, not as slapsticky.
Yeah. Well, there was, the Truman Show was good, too, I thought.
Yeah, that was the one. That's the one that I really liked.
It's decent. But speaking of decent, Carol.
Yes, Mark.
Let's talk about CompuWare.
Okay. What about CompuWare?
Detroit is one of the finalists, I guess, for CompuWare's new world headquarters. Are you excited? Might bring some jobs to the city if we get CompuWare.
I mean, that's always a good thing, sure. I don't really care much about the actual company itself, I guess. But
though it's too soon to declare a victor in the sweepstakes to determine the site of CompuWare Corp's new headquarters, it certainly feels as if the winds of fortune are blowing towards the city of Detroit. Earlier this week, Peter Karmanos Jr., CompuWare's chairman, remarked about his company's site search that, quote, "the city still has to do some things, but it's looking pretty good." How'd you like to be the CEO of a company that can just tell a city, hey, fucking, you gotta clean this up in this before I'm coming down here.
Right? That'd be, yeah.
It's crazy, right?
I mean, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of power.
That's what I'm saying. We've already got Mike Ilitch. We don't need you, Peter Karamanos.
That's what I wonder, though, when they're, like, bringing jobs to the city. Like, I mean, are we really in that desperate of a need of jobs around here?
Well, I mean, if they wouldn't keep shipping off car manufacturing jobs to Mexico, I think we'd be okay.
Right. But it's like I was thinking about it. Like, okay, the newspaper is full of, like, classified ads, people, you know, looking to hire other people.
Sure.
And every once in a while, you know, you look for a job, you find a job. It's like this constant rotating thing. But, like, overall, it has to be pretty even or there'd be a big problem one way or another, right?
I guess that's true. They do seem to cater to big companies when they come in to cities, though.
To get those jobs. Yeah, but, like, it's weird. Didn't we already have some? Like, I don't
know. Yeah, I see your point. What about Kevin Spacey's point, Carol?
His pointy head? What?
Kevin Spacey wants some down-to-earth roles. Kevin Spacey got tired of playing dark, brooding, borderline characters. Quote, "It's been fun on this dark and interesting journey, but I think I'm on to a whole new thing, and it's right for just now." Spacey says in the issue of March issue. That's the sentence, everyone. That's what they went with in the paper.
And these are professionals.
It's right for just now, end quote. Spacey says in the issue of March issue of Paper Magazine. Paper Magazine, everyone. After playing moody creeps in Seven, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, The Usual Suspects, and Hurley Burley, Spacey is ready for something different. "I think I'm through playing characters that are affectless. I really like playing characters that are affected. I'm really so much closer to that."
Interesting. So he wants to be able to show more emotion?
I guess.
More variety?
He does seem like a cold fish.
Yeah, and I guess that is how he's being cast. So, I mean, I get that he wants to try something different. I wouldn't be like, I'm done with these roles. Like, that's what's paying all your bills, sir. So,
no shit. Monica Lewinsky is comparing her plight to Lady Diana's.
Does she have a plight?
Lady Diana's dead. Monica Lewinsky sees a parallel between her difficulties and the problems of the late Princess Diana, a British newspaper said today. I'm not a princess in a royal sense, but I was also wronged by a man who said he loved me, Lewinsky told the Sunday Mirror, referring to President Clinton.
That's almost every woman in the world.
Mm-hmm. And remember, I was in love with him. I was trapped, too. I had a lot of pressure on me. And like Diana, I had nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. Wow. That's...
the fuck? She's really leaning into this shit, huh?
Yeah, that's so... that's not good. That's not a good look. I'm wondering if, though, she was trapped into that. These reporters will frame questions in a way to get you to answer in a, like, something that's more sensational so they can make a headline out of it or whatever. I wonder if someone said, hey, you like Diana, right? Like, you and Diana are pretty similar. Could you, like, what ways do you think that you and Diana, like, you know, your plights were similar? And then she starts answering the question, and it sounds like she's comparing herself to the people's princess who was fucking run down by paparazzi and killed, essentially. And that's not, I feel for her, but that's not her plight.
Yeah. Also, like, she's like, I was in love with him, and then she's like, I was trapped and had nowhere to go. So, yeah. Which thing are we saying here? Because if you were in love with him, were you trapped? And if you weren't, then that's icky for him.
Yeah, no shit.
I mean, it's icky anyway. Cigars.
I mean, you know, it cigars don't always taste the best anyway. Like,
my God.
So Bruce Willis is going to star in an independently financed mob spoof called The Whole Nine Yards for director Jonathan Lynn, who directed My Cousin Vinny, which is a good movie.
It is.
According to the Daily Variety, Willis and Alan Kaufman are producing the $40 million crime comedy for the star's Flying Hearts film Banner, the entertainment trade paper reported. So, okay, I guess it's independently financed because he and Alan Kaufman are putting up the $40 million.
That's not a lot for a movie, is it? I don't think so.
No, that's a fairly, I would say, low to mid-budget movie. Certainly not a ton, you know. I think the Saving Private Ryan was like $80 million or something.
Well, that had a lot of effects and probably travel and stuff too.
But yeah, $40 million is not a ton. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's more than we can afford to finance a movie.
Sure.
So. But Carol, I've got two last stories here, and I don't know which one to go with first. They're both so delicious, I think. I'll go with the...
delicious
with
stories.
With the maybe... less delicious one, but they're both
okay.
they're both local stories, everyone, so bear with us. They involve local things. One is about the popular new night spots around Detroit, including Ascension UK. Ascension UK is, for those of you that don't know, is a alcohol free like goth coffee bar.
The fuck? Who wants that?
It's in Southfield.
But it's alcohol free.
Or not Southfield, I'm sorry. It's in Detroit.
Like, but, goth and alcohol free, that does not go together.
Whoa, all goth people are alcoholics?
No, I'm not saying they're alcoholics, but if you're getting dressed up in your goth gear and going out for the night, I think you want to have a couple drinks most of the time.
The lowdown, Carol. Those who prefer their night spots on the somewhat somber side will adore Ascension UK, a late-night, no-alcohol coffee house hidden away in one of downtown Detroit's darker, forgotten corners. Located in the located in the long-abandoned Chinese restaurant, look for the Oriental Express sign. Ascension melds an old-school freezer theater or clubhouse DIY aesthetic with a distinctive Anglo-inspired gothic vibe. It's a scruffy but atmospheric meeting ground for an offbeat blend of black-clad goths, dye-haired artists, and other night prowlers who are not quite ready to head home at 2 a.m.
So, okay, so wait a minute. So this is a late night, like, open after the bar closed.
It's an after hours
spot. So people are going to be drunk. They're just not serving alcohol anymore, so they don't mind going to get the coffee.
And
I got it.
Going
to
be drugs.
Well, of course, yeah.
Atmosphere, shadowy, timeless, and theatrically gloomy to a greater or lesser degree, depending on the evening and the event. Unlike most other area alternative venues, patrons tend toward the friendly side. Oh, thanks a lot, everyone. We're alternative. Most Ascension folks are regulars, and it seems that standoffishness and bad attitudes generally have been left at the door. The club has a well-earned reputation as a goth hangout, but there's more to it than that. The oddly friendly feel and the general willingness to experiment on the part of the management results in certain idiosyncratic flair. On a recent Saturday, a photographer frenetically snapped the pictures of the club patrons and then developed them at a table in the middle of the dance floor.
There's a dance floor?
Yeah.
What kind of coffee house has a dance floor? This is like a club.
Yeah, it's a club, coffee house club.
Okay.
Usually there's a DJ, but Ascension occasionally hosts live local and national bands. Let's see. So the Banshees, Peter Murphy, Dead Can Dance, and the like. Food, limited coffee house snack fare, such as muffins and bagels. Drink, caffeine-laden, appropriately enough for a late-night place. Coffee and cappuccino, augmented by a couple of dozen add-on flavors, as well as 14 varieties of tea.
Okay, I kind of want to check it out now.
So it goes from, the hours are late, 10 p.m. to 5 a.m., and then 6 p.m. to midnight on Sundays.
Okay.
Dress code. Basic black is always in style. Whether it be in the form of Royal Oak, resale chic, full-on noir, or Showtime ensembles, or vintage Victorian dress, if you feel like you've stepped off the set of Interview with a Vampire or the decline of the Western civilization, you know you're on the right track. every Sunday they have Vampire the Masquerade. An interactive role-playing game that begins at 6 p.m.
I want to go.
This Saturday.
Take me there.
It's okay, I'll take you there. Jeez, so peace. This Saturday, Ascension hosts the Miss Gothic Detroit Contest, a benefit for the Red Cross. Yeah, it seems like a really cool place.
Yeah.
Ascension, UK. So I guess we'll check it out. And if you're in the Detroit area, why don't you check out Ascension, UK as well?
What does the UK stand for?
United Kingdom.
But, okay.
I don't know.
It's not here. It's here.
Yeah, I don't know. anyway, so this is someone who's been on our radar for at least a week or two. But now he's in the newspaper. It says his name is ... Well, he has several. But the rapper known as Eminem, that's E-M-I-N-E-M. Like the candy, but spelled differently.
It's a palindrome, right?
No.
Oh.
No, backwards. Backwards, it's men, I me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Is about to become the first hip-hop artist from Detroit to make it big. Warning, this story does not contain profane language, graphic descriptions of drug use and violence, or other gratuitous juvenile imagery. And you'd better believe that's a tough job when you're dealing with the world of Eminem. Eminem, born Marshall Bruce Mathers III. Mm, Jesus Christ.
What a name.
Sounds like a silver spoon rich kid.
Right?
I'm Marshall Bruce Mathers III.
They had some high hopes when they named him.
And also known as Slim Shady, is a white, foul-mouthed, rabble-rousing rapper from Detroit. The hip-hop heads use the description affectionately. Bugged out, they call him. Crazy. A wild man. Eminem eats it up. In the chameleonic world of hip-hop, Slim Shady is the hottest thing going. Over the next 10 months, he'll likely emerge as the biggest Detroit artist of the decade. Jesus Christ.
That's quite the proclamation.
Bringing long-awaited respect for a local hip-hop scene that has often seemed stuck in third gear. That's true. New York and Los Angeles are far ahead of Detroit as far as hip-hop artists go. The Slim Shady LP, released Tuesday, Is expected to debut at the top of, so it's already released, at the top today, at the top of Billboard's album chart when sales are tallied later this week. The album is already platinum, with more than 1 million copies shipped to stores. Remarkable for an artist releasing his first major label record. The album's first single, the relentlessly infectious and delightfully mean-spirited My Name Is, I don't know how it's mean-spirited, is the number one video on MTV and one of the most requested songs on rock and urban stations. So, you guys have probably, it's been played a lot around here in Detroit, but you guys have probably heard it, you know, the, what, my name is, whoop, my name is, whoop, my name is, my Slim Shady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good.
It's a good song.
Yeah, we can't claim to, you know, we don't know Eminem.
Of course not.
But, We've known of him a little bit, at least, for the past, like, year or so.
I mean, one of my friends actually does know him, or...
Yeah.
They went to a party he was at.
And he's, you know, he's done some stuff locally, he's done some stuff on the West Coast, too. I think he's, he caught the attention of Dr. Dre, I believe. I think that's kind of what's, you know... leading this stuff.
Good for him.
Eminem is leading a charge that's finally getting Detroit onto the rap map. Here's a look at other local artists who are putting the moves on the national scene. Proof. You better have skills if you plan to challenge Proof to a rhyme battle. In January, the rapper took first place in Source Magazine's National Freestyle Competition in New York. Whether the MC's written material can match his improv gift is questioned by some Detroit hip-hop heads. A label he's starting with New York fashion designer Maurice Malone will probably offer the evidence on disc. Then there's Royce the 5'9", a creative colleague of Eminem, and the next likely candidate to blow up out of Detroit. Like his partner in grime, Royce trades in a similar... band of shock for shock's sake rap.
Who made this pun?
I don't know, but I'm disagreeing with the shock for shock's sake thing.
Okay.
Because the stuff that I've heard from Eminem so far, I feel like it's very like raw and honest writing. Yeah. I think that's what makes it different.
Yeah, I agree. I like his stuff a lot.
And then there's a duo of Hush and Ill called Duruckus. This duo's episode 1 EP wound up in the top 10 of the hip hop site's much respected ranking of 1998's best independent albums. I don't know.
The Ruckus.
But yeah, so Eminem, watch out for him, apparently, according to this Detroit paper anyway. The premier artist of the decade. I like him. That seems maybe premature. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Carol.
Yes.
Before we get to the movie today, mm-hmm. I thought to myself, this movie's pretty, I don't know, like, what would you say? This movie's pretty wild at heart, you know? pretty crazy.
Mm,
it's got some love, but, you know, in a crazy way. So I thought, why not... Massive Love, everyone.
Yay, my favorite.
So we've got some Massive Love. These are all taken from the Wild at Hearts section. Long ago, they broke these up into two sections.
The Wild at Heart is like the weirdos.
Yeah, well, they used to have, it was just Speaking from the Heart,
mm-hmm.
and they mixed in the I'm gay and I want a gay person to respond to my thing, and I want to cheat on my wife. And they were like, they're both fucking...
deviant.
Yeah, they're both deviants. So let's set them off in a separate category. So that's what they've done with them now.
When I say weirdos, I mean, you know, like, obviously just not heterosexual couples, but I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. it's like thruples and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, there's a lot of weird stuff in there, yeah. I don't know exactly why they put the gay people in with everybody else that's looking for, like, does anybody have a horse I can fuck?
Right.
But whatever. 45 to 50-year-old single / married female fit, sought by married white male 36. All requests granted. Healthy, discreet, willing to learn.
Oh, wow.
Warren.
All requests granted and willing to learn.
So, do you think that he's been, like, chastised by his wife or something like that? You don't know how to fuck. But I'm willing to learn.
So, what is he looking for again?
He's looking for a 45 to 50-year-old single or married woman.
Wow.
Who's fit.
So, maybe his wife has let herself go.
But the willing to learn is the thing that gets me.
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to figure out, like, why these assholes decide to go, you know, post shit in the paper.
Oh, yeah. I know. Anytime I read any of the cheaters, you hate it.
I do. It's angering. Keep it in your pants, people.
Yeah, I understand.
Till death do us part.
Right.
That's how that goes.
Kill your wife.
Oh, my God.
That's what Carol's saying.
What is wrong with you?
Well, that's what you're saying, till death do them part. If you know, pull a Henry VIII, if you want to have a sex with another woman. I became Italian.
I'm a little scared now. You don't have any insurance policies out, do you?
No, just two or three. Are you lonely?
No.
Okay. Then then you won't be interested in this. Are you lonely? Married white female, 40-ish, with sick husband. Wishes to meet married.
No. What is wrong with people? Sick husband. You're sick. Join a book club if you're lonely. Fucking whore.
Are you lonely? Married white female, 40-ish, with sick husband, wishes to meet married white male, 40 to 50, with sick wife.
What? What kind of sick are we talking about? Now I've got to wonder.
For companionship, maybe more. Warren area.
How do you think there's going to be another person reading the paper that happens to have a sick spouse? And
your wife has to be bedridden, too.
I don't understand.
Oh, my God.
I mean, maybe they feel like this justifies it somehow, but it does not.
I think so.
It does not. You know what? Go to a support group for, like, caretakers of sick people. That's where you need to find someone.
My husband's on his deathbed, and I want someone whose wife is on her deathbed so we can bang and talk about how hard it is to take care of people dying.
Awful.
Oh, my God.
Maybe they mean sick in the head, though.
I don't think so, honey. I mean, like, honestly, I read it a few times before I presented it to you here, and I thought about it in all different angles, and I was like, maybe they mean, like, just, oh, yeah, this is a fucking, my marriage is just sick or whatever. But no, I'm pretty sure they just mean ill.
Wow.
Novi Man. 57. Actually, I should read this next one. There's two here, but I should read the next one first, but I'll save it. It's related to the one we just read. Novi Man, 57, years young. Very fun. Looking for adventurous female, single or married, to join me and attend some exciting parties this holiday season. Mm. Now, the reason I saved that is because this is March. This is from March's paper. I didn't save this from I didn't clip this out of a previous paper. So that just says to me, this dude probably put this in here in December.
Right.
And paid for it to just keep running, and he still hasn't found anybody.
Aw, that's kind of sad. But, yeah, lose the holiday season. You're literally paying more for those words.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, like, I guess, what, the St. Patrick's Day season?
I mean, I guess he's looking for somebody to go drink some green beer. That makes sense. Sure. Why not?
Nursemaid sought by...
Dear God.
Yep.
It's her dying husband.
Nursemaid sought by professional married white male with a thirst for a curvy white female. Age and marital status unimportant. Wow. I-75 corridor area preferred.
Wait a minute.
Oh.
He's thirsty for a curvy woman, and he said nursemaid?
Yes.
He's looking to breastfeed, isn't he?
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that. Oh my God.
I mean, I thought nurse back to health, but maybe there's something else.
I was thinking that he just wants someone like in a nurse's uniform, a curvy nurse's uniform.
Sure.
But, oh my God.
No, I think he wants to suck on some titties.
Well, don't we all, but... Boy, we don't all want to breastfeed. Jesus.
Yeah, people are fucked up.
100% agree, Carol. There's... Wow. But wet nurse would be the one for breastfeeding, right?
So, yeah. So yeah, maybe, you're right.
So maybe he just means...
Hello, nurse.
Yeah. Although, like you said, maybe it's that chick's husband. God, you're funny today.
I'm funny every day, thank you very much.
No, I agree, You,
I love how you sound surprised.
You know what you're doing.
You know what? Fuck you.
Wow! I gave you a compliment. This is what marriage is like, everybody.
Well, what if it would have been fine if you were just like, you're funny, but you're funny today. What if I was like, hey, you're a good kisser today? The rest of the days, though, man, you suck.
All right. Point taken. Point taken. 24-year-old bi single black female seeking same must like children.
What? Sorry, my brain went bad. Go ahead.
No, I agree with you. Very busty, clean, discreet, looking to have a discreet relationship. Serious responses only. No men.
Okay. But if they're looking to have a discreet relationship, then why do they need to, like, have children?
Exactly.
Like, if you have children and you're looking for a partner, then you should want them to like children.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Mm-mm. 26-year-old single black male, cute, 5'11", 165 pounds. That's pretty tiny. Healthy, drug and alcohol free, seeking slim built 26-year-old cute female with nice feet.
Oh, God.
For LTR, which I don't know what that
long-term means. Long-term relationship.
Oh, okay.
So he wants to have some bony sex, it sounds like, but also feet sex.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, that's nice feet.
Because, like... But like you said, he's small. He wants somebody thin.
Specifying nice feet, though. I mean,
that's fucked. Like, yeah, it's like Quentin Tarantino, except he's not small.
Tarantino? Well, he's not big.
No, but he's not small.
He's average sized.
Okay.
We've all been there.
What do you think constitutes nice feet? Like, I'm not into feet, so I can't really gauge it.
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I have, everyone's got their own, like, things or whatever, you know. But I'm into mostly the normal stuff, right? I guess, you know? Like, breasts shouldn't necessarily be super, like, they are secondary sexual characteristics. They're not primary sexual characteristics.
Breasts?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, you know, like, finding them attractive is... I guess somewhat like finding feet attractive.
It's not, though.
I mean, they're close.
Every guy wants big, nice breasts, pretty much. Most guys, anyway.
Yeah, you would think. Only some of us get it, though. Thank you, Carol, for marrying me.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, the feet, I don't get. I'm not sure. What, like, I guess, what would it be? Like, shape?
I mean, I would imagine... They don't want, like, hairy feet or calluses or...
How much would toenails have to do with it? What about weird stuff? Like, my feet are weird.
Yeah, your feet are weird. And my feet...
You could have just said, oh, your feet are cute, honey, but I guess I don't really
care. I mean, like, I don't care what your feet look like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you've got that weird gap thing.
So, I have flat feet, for any of you that care. My feet are I don't have an arch.
Yeah, flat.
And then I have a space in between my big toe and the rest of my toes where you could fit another toe.
I feel like people who are into feet might be into that. At least
that's what I'm wondering. Like, is that the weirdness? Does
so
that that make a difference?
If you're in defeat.
Oh, my God.
Let us know. Please don't. No, really don't. I forgot her email address. Latefee, 1994 at AOL.com.
I thought you said you forgot my name.
I was having like a stroke. Sorry.
28-year-old sexy bi-curious female seeks the same under 34 to spoil husband rotten.
Okay.
28-year-old girl wants, who's bi-curious, wants a female who's also bi-curious, who's under 34, her husband must be 34, to spoil the husband rotten.
Do you love your husband or do you want a break? It sounds like she's looking for a replacement.
No, she wants the both of them with the husband.
To spoil him rotten.
Yeah.
You like that idea? I hear it in your voice there.
What? I'm just saying.
Spoil me, baby.
I'm just saying that my birthday is coming up.
Uh-huh. It is not.
No, I know.
My birthday is coming up.
Eventually.
How about you spoil me rotten?
Okay, I will. I'll find a female. That would spoil you rotten, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, can you be adventurous?
Yes.
How about this? You can be adventurous without being nasty.
No.
Attractive white couple stuck in Livingston County seeks white couple 25 to 40 for fun.
That means they don't have a car.
Right.
So you've got to drive to Livingston County to be with them.
So what does that mean? Let's say we're not trying mm-hmm. to swing.
No.
By the way, don't send us invitations to join you. I mean,
you're welcome to send the invitations. I actually like really appreciate the invitations. Just don't expect us to respond to the invitations.
Oh, okay. We got a
nice invitation.
We got a not safe for work invitation.
For Christmas, I think.
Anyway, so apparently send them. But we're not necessarily going to respond to them, though.
Right.
But anyway, if you and I were looking for a couple
mm-hmm.
to be with or whatever,
I would not like that.
You would not like what?
Being with a couple.
I wouldn't like being with a couple either. Single woman's fine, though.
Maybe.
But anyway, so I know we're not looking for a couple. I'm just saying if we were and we were looking through the paper and we saw this and it said you can be adventurous without being nasty. Attractive white couple stuck in Livingston County seeks white couple 25 to 40 for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Would we respond to this?
No.
Because I don't know what they mean.
Well,
what do you mean you could be adventurous without being nasty? Are we going to fucking swap wives or like, you know, have an orgy or what?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's what the people, that's, I mean, we're not swingers, so I don't know. But that's what they want, right? The swingers, they want
to
swap and like they all be together and shit.
Maybe they want to do a group thing. They don't necessarily want to swap. I don't know.
But what's nasty?
Yeah, what's nasty or not nasty?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can be adventurous without being nasty. What does that mean?
I don't know, but I feel like, too, like, the people who would respond to this could be, like, serial killers. Because you're like, I'm stuck in Livingston County.
Yeah, I know.
Like, they're going to be like, well, we'll come over there and get you.
Wow. And then this last one. You seeking excitement? I like the lack of.
Are you that cheap?
You seek an excitement.
You couldn't spring for R.
Married white male looking for rambunctious female.
You could spring for rambunctious and not R. Dear Lord.
For playful friendship. So this sounds like he's like 9. And looking
for, a 9-year-old does not know the word rambunctious.
Looking for another 9-year-old to play on the twirly slide. So like you seek an excitement. Married, I got married. I gave my girlfriend a lifesaver for her ring. Married white male looking for rambunctious female for playful friendship. You're looking for a dog.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I picture. They're like frolicking through a field.
I know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's weird, right?
Yeah. People are weird. See, this is the proof. I mean, and that's just a smattering of local people who put it out there in the paper. Yep. Imagine the people out there that are quiet about it. There's got to be a million weirdos. Like, every other person you walk by in the street is freak.
They're thinking to themselves, you can be adventurous and nasty same time.
I don't know how you'd be adventurous without being nasty. I don't get that.
I don't get it either. I don't understand. That's why. Like, what are they going to do? Play fucking Scrabble together?
That's an adventure right there.
Yeah.
Drive to Livingston County.
Right. Play the word rambunctious for 45 points.
There you go.
But speaking of nasty.
Yes. This was a nasty movie.
And adventurous. We watched Cruel Intentions.
Yeah. Very good movie.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer like you've never seen her before.
Well, I mean, we got a sneak preview that one episode. That
one episode where she was sexy dancing with
Xander. Yeah. It's so funny that that's what we think of. Not like when she actually had sex, but sexy dancing with Xander. That's her sexy moment.
Well, yeah, because when she had sex, it was all like, oh, we love each other. And it's really sweet. Oh,
not sexy at all.
Fuck your soul out.
and then it was just sad.
But yeah, so we have her. We have Ryan Felipe from I Know What You Did Last Summer fame. The one that actually hit the guy in the car.
What?
That blonde dude.
He was last summer. Yeah. I thought you meant the actor for a second.
The actor that murdered someone. We have the most delicious sounding actress, Reese Witherspoon. Reese Witherspoon. She was in Man in the Moon.
She was the little sister.
And some other things. She was in something with, I don't know, like it was a Little Red Riding Hood. I think Kiefer Sutherland was in it.
Oh, I think we've talked about this, but we haven't seen it, and I want to. It sounds interesting. I like Kiefer Sutherland a lot.
She was in that Mark Wahlberg one, too.
Yeah, Fear.
Fear.
That was such a good one. Yeah, I liked that movie a lot.
She was in that with Alyssa Milano.
Yeah.
So we've got them, and then we've got someone named Selma Blair. First time I've seen her.
Who's she? Which one was she?
She's the she's the one that's supposed to be like 12, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, the like immature girl.
The weirdest acting in. It's so weird to see someone that's clearly like 28 being like, I got back from Australia and like, you know, and trying to act like she's very young.
You know what, though? She sells it. She's a good actress.
She sells it in the campy way that the tone of this movie is going for.
But I mean, like, I believe her in that role. Even though she looks older because she does such a good job acting that way.
So those are the principal players. Oh, Joshua Jackson's also in this.
Yeah, Pacey.
As a gay guy.
It's interesting. It's interesting to see.
It is interesting.
And his hair is blonde. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Michelle Gellar's hair is brown. So, like, they're, like, fucking with everything.
Yeah. They're fucking with the TV shows we watch.
Well, yeah, because... Yeah, that's right. He went blonde in the TV show. When he was filming this.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Is Sarah Michelle Gellar's hair going to change color?
Ooh, is it going to get darker?
That would be interesting.
Is it wigs?
You think she's wearing a wig?
I don't know. I don't think so, but...
That would suck. I would hate to have to wear a wig for, like, many hours. They're so uncomfy.
It's probably very easy for her to dye it and dye it back, though, or whatever, right?
It's not that easy to get brown out of blonde.
Oh, okay.
It's you know, easy enough to go from blonde to brown, sure, but...
We'll see if Buffy has, like, an evil, like, dark twin or something like that at one point. Right. I'm brown-haired Buffy.
Oh, my God, I just pictured my Barbies. Okay, go ahead.
So, Cruel Intentions, what did you think?
So, I love the soundtrack of this movie more than, like, any soundtrack that I've heard, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we should do a mixtape about the soundtrack.
Okay.
But yeah.
A special mixtape spotlight episode.
For Cruel Intentions.
Yeah.
I think that it's well done. I think the main character is fucking despicable. I think it's sexy. Mm-hmm. It's fun. You get the vengeance in the end. Like, I like everything about this movie.
Okay.
How about you? What did you think?
I liked a lot of the movie. I didn't love the end of the movie.
Okay, tell me.
So, I agree. I think it's sexy. I think it's like, it's hard-edged. We've seen so many movies, especially lately, teen movies. We watched the She's All That,
mm-hmm.
where it's all very sappy and nice.
Sweet,
and,
yeah.
Yes, sweet and stuff like that. It's nice to see a hard-edged, like, almost angry, cynical movie where the two main characters, I would say, are Sarah Michelle Gellar and Ryan Phillippe. Sebastian Belmont and Catherine is her name. That's the name in the book, I believe, too.
Okay.
And I think that's her name. Because I can hear what's her name being like, Catherine.
In Dangerous Liaisons?
Yeah. So there's a book, Dangerous Liaisons. They made a movie out of it with John Malkovich. And Glenn Close plays the Sarah Michelle Gellar character.
Now, she's the one who cooked a bunny in Fatal Attraction, right? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sarah Michelle Gellar's much prettier.
Yes.
And then there's Michelle Pfeiffer, I think, is the young ingenue. So this is very similar. Very similar. The plot structure is pretty much exactly the same. A lot of the story elements are the same. It's modernized, obviously, and there's some differences, but they're you know, superficial.
Are they step siblings in the book?
I don't remember. It's been a long time. I did read the book. It's been a long time since I read the book, and a long time since I watched the John Malkovich movie. The Malkovich movie. But I don't think they are.
Okay.
I want to say they're related in some way, but like distant cousins or something where it's like, they're not really related. Like, and I guess step-siblings are also not really related.
Right.
It takes place in, pre-revolution France. So he's like a courtesan or something like that. He's like, he has some sort of title of nobility. And he's known throughout the land as like this rakish, you know, like womanizer.
Okay.
And she's, you know, she's somebody that like, kind of like Catherine, who likes to be in control of things and stuff like that, and like mess with people's heads and shit like that. She also, you know, has like a sexual appetite, but she can't display it, just like Sarah Michelle Gellar says in this. So there are a lot of similarities. This is making them teenagers is interesting, I think. And modernizing it's obviously interesting. I thought that, so in my opinion, the best part of this movie is Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Okay.
Because she really is just chewing up the scenery in this role.
Yeah.
She's really owning this, like, and everything that she does, she's a really good actress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything she does where she's like, she makes the, rolls her eyes and makes those faces and everything, she's putting on the face of, like, you know, we're going to help you matriculate to this to the new high school and everything, stuff like that. And then behind the back, she's like, and like, you know, it's,
yeah,
she does really well.
Yeah, she's definitely talented, like, because there's no hint of Buffy in this character on screen.
And she can be really sexy when she's essentially giving him a lap dance, like rubbing up against him and like rubbing on his penis and everything. And she's like, oh, you haven't had sex with that guy, with the girl yet? You know, she's like, okay.
Where's that guy?
Says down boy. What I don't like about the ending is, to me, everything gets wrapped up too pretty.
Okay.
Where it's like, I know, so spoilers, if you haven't seen the movie, go see the movie. It's great. Yeah. Go to the drive-in.
Watch the lap dance.
Go to the drive-in if you want to and see this, because you can, you know, like reenact some of your favorite scenes with your partner there. But I know he dies at the end of the movie, and that's like, you know, that's sad and everything like that. But he gets like a final kind of redemption, and then Reese Witherspoon's character gets like, you know, like a redemption. We're going to like, you know, and Sarah Michelle Gellar gets hers in the end kind mm-hmm. of thing, right? I didn't think it was cruel enough. I didn't think it was hard-edged enough.
Okay.
I feel like the movie was racing towards an inevitable conclusion of cynicism, and we didn't really get that. We got halfway cynicism. We didn't get the full cynicism. And I felt like at the end, like Yakety Sax might as well have been playing.
Yakety Sax.
Yeah, it's the theme song to Benny Hill. I'll put it in here.
Okay.
The one that goes, meow, 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 meow.
Why? I don't get it. I'm sorry.
Because at the end of the movie, so just to rocket to the end real quick, and then we'll talk about other aspects of the movie. But let's talk about it. Let's get there.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of elements to get there.
So the basic plot of the movie is that Sebastian is a womanizing asshole, and he just sleeps with everybody.
Yeah.
The movie starts out with him like having tricked his therapist daughter into having sex with him and taking naked pictures of her that he posts on the internet.
Yeah, without her permission. Like, real fucking scumbag, almost borderline unforgivable behavior.
Yeah. And he's talking about how bored he is about like all these debutantes and that they're, you know, too easy. And so he wants a real challenge. And he sees this article in the paper about this girl talking about wanting to be a virgin till marriage. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens that she ends up in what was this, 17 magazine or something? Mm-hmm. And she's also staying at his aunt's house in the Hamptons for the summer.
Yeah.
Like, what a stroke of luck there.
She's from Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And her father has accepted the position of new headmaster at their private school in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're moving to New York. I mean, I guess it is kind of far-fetched, I suppose, but I can buy it. It's not
sure.
It's not a game-breaking element. I can buy it as the, you know, he was looking for someone, and this is the one that fit the criteria, because now she's moving towards him, so whatever.
So he tells his stepsister, Sarah Michelle Gellar, about his plan to sleep with her, and she's like, I want to make a bet that you can't do it, or whatever.
Yeah, because she wants him to have sex with Selma Blair's character,
mm-hmm.
because her thing is she gave a blowjob to her boyfriend, who apparently didn't appreciate it enough or whatever, because he fell asleep. We get that because he was mm-hmm. drunk. We get that flashback or whatever. But no, she wanted to be with this guy, and he was like, he dropped her for the new fresh-faced freshman, because she's supposed to be a freshman in high school. So she's supposed to be like 14 or whatever.
Yeah.
Selma Blair, who's clearly not. But anyway, he dumped her for her.
Right.
And he wants to date her now. So she's like, no, let's ruin this bitch and make her into a slut. So can you do that? Can you have sex with her? And he's like, no, I have other fish to fry. I want to do this. And she's like, you're not going to be able to do that. I'll bet you can't. And he's like, well, what do you want to bet? And she's like, if I win, I get your car. And if you win, you get to fuck me.
Yeah, and she says he can put it anywhere. Yeah. That's the only way she gets him to agree to this.
Well, I mean, that is nice.
Is it?
I don't know.
Goodness.
Well, where do you think he's thinking of putting it?
Where else?
I don't know. There's so many options.
There's three.
The ear.
No. No. Okay. That was Papa Smurf in, like, that weird cartoon, like, porn we saw once.
Oh, was there an ear thing in that?
Well, because all the Smurfs were going for Smurfette, and there's only so many holes.
Wow.
But no, that's disgusting. anyway, so she compares having sex with her to, like, this classic car. I don't really think that's a fair deal, no matter how good she is at sex, because, I mean, it only lasts, like, so long.
Well, she says, like, you've been obsessing about it ever since our parents got married. The parents are never in the movie, by the way. They're always off somewhere.
I kind of think she really wants to have sex with him, too, though.
I agree. But, like, I think she also likes... She obviously likes that he, which comes out later in the movie, that he wants her.
Right.
He wants her because he can't have her, because apparently she said no before or whatever, because how else would she know he's obsessing about it? So she likes being wanted by him, and she likes, you know, if she gives in, then that I think she understands that kind of goes away.
That she'll lose that power.
Yeah, because once he has sex with her, it's like, well, now I had you. So because that's the only reason he really wants. I mean, Sarah Michelle Gellar is a beautiful woman.
Yeah,
but like obviously the only reason he really wants her is because he cannot have her. It's the whole thing with Reese Witherspoon. Same kind of thing. That's the challenge.
So he goes to the Hamptons to go after Reese Witherspoon's character, and this is where he is
to act like a villain. 8-year-old.
Huh?
To act like an 8-year-old.
Why do you say
that? The one time when she gets off the horse and stuff like that, and he's like, come on, and he grabs her hand, and they're like almost skipping. I was like, he looks like an 8-year-old.
Well, you know what? I got to say something. Like, he plays, like, sexy in the movie well, but I don't really find Ryan Phillippe sexy.
You think he plays sexy well?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you don't? I mean, like...
Yeah, I think he's fine. Like, his acting, I think, is good. I think the two women are much better.
Yeah. And I just, like I was saying, I don't think he's very attractive, truly. He's supposed to be, like, super hot or whatever, but he's not.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, he's a curly-haired blonde. It's not your type.
Yeah. It's Steve Sanders.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, so why do you think this is where he's a villain when he goes to the
Because he's going there to seduce this girl who has said, you know, she doesn't want to do it. Like, to have the intention to, like, ruin somebody, to take them away from their morals, that's villainous.
Well, yeah, his character is a complete villain. But she obviously kind of wants him, too.
Yeah.
I mean, she does express some interest. You know, she accepts that invitation very early on to swim with him.
Yeah.
And she's got that she looks really good in that bathing suit. I like Reese Witherspoon.
It's just a simple one piece. It's just because you like Reese Witherspoon.
Wow. But that's one of the problems I have with the movie. I don't buy his redemption arc.
What is his redemption arc? Just because he pushes her out of the way so she doesn't die, that's his redemption arc?
No, his redemption arc is, like, so he ends up, he pursues her and everything. He ends up falling in love with her. He has a chance to have sex with her.
And doesn't, yeah.
And he doesn't do it. He's like, no, like, I can't or whatever. And then, like, and then they have sex later, like, and he's like, oh, I truly love you and everything and stuff like that. And he's supposed to be, like, a good guy now, I guess.
I don't think that makes him a good guy now, though.
I don't either. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't buy this whole redemption arc. I think, and like you said, what happens is, you know, he ends up, he does sleep with Cecile, which is Selma Blair's character's name. He does end up sleeping with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's has this relationship going on with this black guy who's her cello instructor.
Right.
And the black guy's sleeping with Sarah Michelle Gellar's character.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
It's all
everybody is having sex with each other.
So she makes up this story about how he hit her and everything, how Sebastian hit her. And so he goes looking for him, the black guy. And this is where I thought Yakety Sack should play. You've got Reese Witherspoon, Ryan Phillippe, and what was his name? Ronald?
Yeah.
Ronald all walking together, to meeting each other all at the central place. And it's just like, it's like a wacky sitcom moment almost. Yeah. Even with the brooding music that's playing over. And then, yeah, he's like, oh, I heard you fucking slept with Cecile. And I'm thinking, like, you are fucking Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah. What do you care? Like, that's hypocritical.
Yes. Well, lots of people are hypocrites.
And they're fighting each other and everything. And, yeah, Reese Witherspoon gets knocked into traffic. He pushes her out of the way and dies. So, I thought that was dumb. The whole fight and everything.
Yeah.
I thought was dumb and contrived and set up. And I thought that, like I said, I don't buy his... He's been so villainous. We haven't seen... Just because, like, just like, oh, I love this girl or whatever. But he's so easily manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Catherine's like, you can't fucking love her or whatever. Like, are you kidding me? You know, you're going to sleep with her, then you're going to lose interest and, you know, whatever. But you're just like me.
Yeah, she is the puppet master.
And so then he breaks up with her because he's like, oh, you know, I'm whatever. And he comes back. He's like, you're right. I am just like you. Let's have sex. And she's like, fuck you. I don't want to have sex right now.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, no, what have I done?
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, my gosh. She's like, how did you like being manipulated? I did this just to manipulate you. And he's like, oh, fuck, I was manipulated. I guess I better change? Like, I don't... His character has no agency.
Yeah.
Really. Like, he does kind of. His agency is, I see this virgin, I want to fuck this virgin, because that's a challenge for me. But that's literally the only agency he has in the entire movie. Every other thing that happens is manipulated either by Reese Witherspoon or by Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, agreed.
He's even manipulated to set up this gay guy because fucking Joshua Jackson wanted to have sex with him or whatever and wanted some money.
Yeah.
And later he admits, like Joshua Jackson admits it, oh, it couldn't have been this guy.
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
It's so funny.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Like, yeah.
And you know what? Now that I think about it, he can't even write.
Oopsie.
But yeah, so like, I didn't like that. I thought the conclusion that the movie was going to be him, like, it was going to be a gut punch to the audience, where it was like, I'm falling in love with you, and, you know, shit like that, and everything, like, you know, and stuff like that, and I truly care about you so much. And then they have sex and everything, and then he goes back to Catherine, and he's like, it's done. You know, and then, like, now I want my prize or whatever. And, like, they have sex or whatever. Like, where it's like, oh, my God, he just tricked all of us.
Yeah.
We thought that he had become this good guy or whatever, but no. And then, like, she is left, like, world-weary and wiser and jaded and shit like that because of that, that interaction.
But that's not how the story goes, right? Like, I mean... When that end scene is playing out, I can imagine it on a freaking Shakespearean play stage.
And that's what it is.
Yeah. So that's why. I mean, yeah, you're right. It could have been better. But, I mean, it's taking the story and recreating it. But so they had to kill him.
You can change it.
Sure. But then it wouldn't really be a remake of that story.
Well, it only says inspired by Dangerously.
All right.
I wanted the ending to be more like that. I wanted the ending to be more jaded, more cynical, and I thought we only got part of that.
It was nice to see Sarah Michelle Gellar get her punishment.
Yeah, although, honestly, I thought she was a more sympathetic character than he was.
Really?
In a lot of ways. Yeah, because she's like, you know what? I fucking enjoy sex, and God forbid that a woman actually enjoy sex and, like, you know, want to have her, like, her autonomy or whatever, because all these other, you know, like, country club assholes, you know, look down at me if I want to express sexuality. And, you know, I get passed over for... It's so funny to be, for Sarah Michelle Gellar to be like, and I'm getting passed over for younger women and stuff like that. And it's like, she's supposed to be a high school senior.
Yeah.
And she's talking about high school freshmen, and it's like, yeah, what a old crow you are. 18.
Right.
I mean, even at like 23 or however old Sarah Michelle Gellar really is, she's obviously not old either.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, that's kind of weird. That's dialogue written for a 40-year-old woman.
Yes, agreed.
But anyway, so like, I thought she was more sympathetic character than he was in a lot of ways.
I didn't really have any sympathy for her, but maybe that's just because I am a woman, so...
But it was nice that she got her come up. It's so funny. They play Bittersweet Symphony at the end and everything. And she's like, she's walking on. It's a bittersweet symphony that's life. And she, like, it's all slow motion and everything. And every single guy that's in the frame, you know, she's mostly framed up. But every single guy, like, at the sides of the frame are just.
Yeah,
slowly shaking their head. Like, there's all these guys, and they're like, because they're reading. Sebastian had this manifesto of like all his crimes.
You know, it reminded me, though, when I was in high school, I used to carry around a journal and, yeah, like, just randomly start writing it all. Like, I wrote every day, like, all the time. Mm-hmm. And so just seeing him with that, I was like, oh, yeah, people do that.
But, yeah, so he's, you know, it's been published. After he died, Reese Witherspoon published it. So everybody knows what evil they were, right? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so they're all reading. All the students are reading it, and they're just like, all the guys are just shaking their head. And then the principal, the new headmaster, comes, grabs her cross that she wears around her neck, which has been established throughout the movie, has a vial of cocaine inside of it.
Yeah.
And just opens up the vial of cocaine with no warrant or anything. Like, how is this even legal? I don't even know. But, like, just grabs her, grabs the vial.
It's a private school.
Come on. Then, like, he's got the vial of cocaine. He looks at it, and he just looks at her and just starts slowly shaking his head. And I can just see if they continued this, like, slow motion songs playing. She's, you know, in a courtroom and everything, and the judge is just, like, shaking his head. Camera pans over to the jury. There's all men in the jury, and they're just, like, shaking their head, slow motion. She gets sent to jail. The jailer at the jail is just shaking his head as he closes the thing.
The worst punishment, a head shake.
That's what I'm saying. It's so weird that they're all doing it.
It is weird.
But that is literally my only complaint with the movie, is that I wish the ending was a little bit different. But other than that, I thought everything was really well written, really well paced, like, just very... It has everything that the movie wants to be. It is,
yeah.
And everybody in the movie knows exactly what their job in the movie is, and they do it really well.
Yeah.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar and Selma Blair share a kiss.
I didn't really think that kiss was that hot or anything, though.
Oh, every guy in the audience did, though.
Really?
Yeah. It's two girls kissing.
But I mean, like, you could tell Sarah Michelle Gellar was not into it.
Really? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, like, I think Selma Blair's character was supposed to be, like, enjoying it, but I don't think Sarah Michelle Gellar's character was, so...
Well, I don't think Sarah Michelle Gellar's character was. Do you think Sarah Michelle Gellar, the actress, was into it?
Well, I don't think either actress was into it. They're really? Acting. They're acting. Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, you've done stage kisses. It's gotta be similar.
No. Did you see the kiss that they shared? No.
I mean, what, there was tongue, yeah.
Stage kissing is not similar to that kissing, no.
Okay. I don't know.
But, yeah. Like I said, that's literally my only criticism with it. Everything else I thought was fantastic. And a really well cast, well acted.
Yeah, it's a very enjoyable. Definitely see it if you haven't seen it.
Absolutely. So, Carol, tell the people where they can... kiss women if they want to.
So check out our Patreon, that website our friend made for us.
That's right. Yeah.
We put some bonus content on there.
Yeah, so. We have free trials up too and everything.
Yeah, so check that out. And then mm-hmm. you can also go to our website, www.retrolatefee.com. Mm-hmm. Write us at latefee1994@aol.com. Yep. Please do not send us feet pictures.
No.
And we will see you next time.
All right, we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.